everybody. We're so happy that you've tuned in today to our weekly broadcast. Every week we have these on Wednesdays. And today's topic is Word Life. 5 reasons why you need to be getting in the Word of God, you and us all alike. So so happy you've tuned in. Just hit that share button. Let your friends be blessed by this on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're on podcast now. So any platform you listen to your podcast on, I mean, listen to it on there every week. New content on there, and then it's easier for you to listen in the car or on the tram, in the train, wherever you are. If you're in Holland on your bicycle, you know, you're riding along, and you're getting the word in you. So make sure you subscribe. For me, I listen on the iTunes, you know, so on the iTunes app, the podcast app, and I just subscribe, and then the new content comes to me directly. So we believe that will bless you. You know, it's important to get the word in you. We'll talk about that today.
Yes.
Then of course, hey, if you've been blessed by these, just post a little picture on your Instagram or share this broadcast live on your Facebook page. Let your friends know about it, and so they can be blessed as well. Jacoba, thanks for tuning in.
Hi,
Safira, see you over there. Awesome. Just drop a comment. Let us know you're watching. Maybe it's cool if you're in Holland, write the town that you're in. Maybe you're in the city, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Utrecht, Tilburg, wherever you are. Breda, it's called.
Breda. I just said that.
Throw in biblical terms here. That's hilarious.
That's so
Stefan, all the way from Middelburg. Awesome. Thanks for tuning in. Great. Well, thanks for joining. Awesome. I already see people jumping on, so that's really great. If you're listening to this on the podcast, thanks for tuning in as well, and hope these are a blessing to you. Today, what's our topic, Jacqueline?
Our topic is Word Life, and we're going to give you guys 5 reasons why you need to be getting in the Word of God. So sometimes as new believers, or sometimes if we've been believers for a long time, you can kind of start slacking in the area of reading your word and consuming the word. And we just want to give you a little refresher today as to why it's so vitally important in your Christian walk, whether you've been a Christian for a month or 20 years, how it's so important to be consuming the word, devouring the word in our lives. And we're just going to give you 5 reasons today why we should all be definitely reading this word. And
what are the 5? Just give them up front so they can write them down.
The first one is a sure foundation. The word is a sure foundation. We'll go more into detail in a minute. The second one is the word is food. Just like the third one is the word is a mirror. The fourth is the word is light onto our path. And the fifth one is the word is a weapon. And we'll be going into all 5 of these in more detail, backing it all up with the Word of God. So our first scripture that we're going to touch on, and it's our first point, is that the Word is the sure foundation. We're going to go to 1 Peter.
Maybe just write down foundation if you're watching on live stream right now. Write down foundation so everybody that tunes in later can see it, what the first point is. Number one, foundation.
Yes, and we're going to go into 1 Peter 1:25. It says, but the Word of the Lord endures forever.
Yeah, God's word never fails. So it's really the only sure foundation you can have for your life. It's the only thing that you built your life on that is a steady, solid foundation. Without the word, you're always going to have a shaky life. You're always going to be up, down, in, out, here, there, everywhere. But with the word, you're founded, you're grounded, you're solid. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a shaky life. I want to live a very steady life. I want to live a solid life.
Victorious life.
Yeah, victorious life. Maybe just read that passage in Matthew 7, where Jesus talks about what to build our life on. The Bible says also in Psalm 119, verse 89, you can write that one down. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God's word never fails.
Yes.
So it's important to remember that before we get to all the other points, that God's word is so strong, it's so solid, it's so immovable, unshakable. And if we decide to build our life on any other thing, then we're going to have a shaky life.
Yeah.
But when we build our life on the foundation of the word, listening to the word, doing the word, acting on the word, believing the word, putting the word in us, and just speaking the word, then what will happen? We're going to have a word life. We're going to have word results. And what is that? That means you're going to have solid life, steady life, grounded life, rooted life, planted life, immovable, unshakable. So just read what Jesus said.
Matthew 7, 24 through 27 talks about building on the rock. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What you see here is that the same circumstances came to two different foundations. The one who built on the rock, the circumstances came, maybe the circumstances of life, storms came, the flood came, but because it was built on the proper foundation, on the foundation of the word, then it was not moved. The storms came, but it was not moved. It stayed firm.
Yeah.
But the foolish man who didn't build on the rock, but built on the sand, the storms, the exact same kind of storm came, and it blew it away, and it became nothing.
So your life is not really what happens to you, it's really what's your foundation. That's what matters. Yeah. And that's what Jesus made so clear. And what did he say? It's not just hearing the word, but he said also doing the word. So James said it, you know, like, don't be deceived, don't just be a hearer only, but also be a doer.
Yeah.
So it's important to remember, it's great to hear, you know, to hear what God is saying to you, to hear what the word says, you know, it's good to know what to do, but it's even better to know and to do what you need to be doing. One day in America, I was on the street telling people about Jesus, you know, witnessing to people, and I came across this guy, and I mean, the Lord loves the guy, but he was an alcoholic, and he was drunk out of his mind. It was the middle of the day, walking around with like a liquor bottle or whatever, and I started witnessing to him, and he started quoting scripture after scripture after scripture to me. I mean, he knew the word mentally, but his life wasn't in line with what the word said, you know, because if it was, then he wouldn't be walking on the street homeless. Then he would be living a blessed life. He would be living a victorious life, overcoming sin and overcoming the attacks of the enemy. So if we want to have a, it's not enough to just know it, but it's, we got to get it in us and we got to walk it.
Yeah.
Hearing the word
and
doing the word.
Amen.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. I see Angela, Stian, I saw Ramon. Ramon, thanks for tuning in, man. It's awesome. Good to see you. David, Brooklyn, of course, the team. Awesome. Thanks for tuning in. So, what did Joshua 21:45 said? And this will encourage you. Joshua said this. He said, not one word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. I want to tell you right now, whatever the Lord has said to you, you know, through his word, but also through the Holy Spirit, whatever he's spoken over your life, all will come to pass. Not one word that he has spoken over you will fall to the ground. It will not fail. The Bible said it in Numbers. The prophet said this. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Will he say it and not do it? Will he speak it and not make it good? Whenever God says something, he means it and he does it. The Bible says it in Isaiah 55 that the word, like the water comes down and does not return void, so also the word does not return void, but it always accomplishes that which God spoke. But you said it, you know, we got to believe the word, and then we got to work the word. We got to do the word. And when we do, then it produces fruit in our life. Jesus gave that parable, that other parable of the sower. You know, the sower sows the word, he said. And the same word was scattered in different types of ground, but it didn't produce the same fruit in every type of ground. In one person, it didn't produce any fruit. In another person, it got only a little root and it didn't grow at all. It got scorched. In another person's life, the word was sown, but then it was quenched, it was choked by all kinds of other cares of this life. But there was one person, was one condition of the heart that the word fell in and it produced much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to produce much fruit. Amen. And I know the people tuning in here, loving the word, loving the Lord, you are hungry to grow. And I believe the word falls into good ground in your life and it produces much fruit for your life.
Amen.
Amen. So it's a sure foundation. Challenges will come, But if you're founded on the rock, you cannot be moved.
Amen.
It says in Psalm 125, the Bible says that those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved.
Amen.
Just keep trusting. Just keep believing the word. Man, a lot of people are tuning in. Thank, thank you so much. Ginger, Jacoba, Charles, awesome. Madara, Miriam, yes. Anamin, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Make sure you share this. Somebody needs to hear this today. So, number two.
It's food for your spirit. So just like we have to eat every day, you know, you have to definitely nourish your body with good, nutritious food, especially when you're a baby. In order for babies to grow, you have to give them all the good food for them to grow properly and grow fast. And so, and always in life, you always need to be feeding your body naturally. And the same is with the spirit. Our spirit man, in order to grow strong and not be weak and deficient in spiritual food and spiritual nutrition, we need the word. The word is our food. The Bible talks in Luke 4:4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may
grow.
So that's how we grow. We grow through the word.
Yeah.
And I love what you always say. You always say this to the church. You always say, it's not having heard the word, but it's continually hearing the word that you'll get faith. You know, the Bible talks about faith comes by hearing the word of God. Well, in order to... So it's not, many times we think like, oh, well, we've heard it, so we have faith.
I already know that.
Yeah. But no, it's continually hearing the word, continually consuming the word, then you'll grow thereby.
Yeah. So make sure you eat, you know?
Yeah.
Without the word, you'll always be a weak Christian.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be an anemic, weak, you know, underfed believer. You want to make sure, and it's really, it's not up to God how much you grow. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Jesus said, with the measure you meet, it will be measured back to you again. So make sure you deal with a big measure. That's why we're taking the whole church, we're taking everyone through a reading plan to put the word in all of us. You know, we'll get to that in a second. You can get that reading plan as well, even if you're not part of the River Amsterdam Church.
Yeah.
But it's so important that you personally, to not just rely on the word on Sunday, or to not just rely on us sharing it on Wednesday, but really for yourself, getting the word in you on a daily basis to develop that personal relationship with the Lord. I mean, it was when I first moved out of my parents' house. Before that, my mom had always cooked my food. I always ate my mom's food, and I ate from their fridge, and it was always abundance of food. But then I went out as this college student, and I had no money, you know, and you had to like provide for your own food. Now, if I wanted to eat, I had to cook. I had to make, prepare my own meal. And it was a struggle at first. I'm like, my gosh, there's no food in this house. Why is there no food? Well, you didn't get any groceries, and you didn't cook anything. So I had to learn to cook for myself. I had to learn to put ingredients together for myself. And that's, I think, also as believers, if we want to grow, we got to dig, you know? If you want to get stronger, you got to dig. If you want to grow physically, you got to go to that gym and lift those weights. Well, same spiritually. You want to build strong muscles. If you want to overcome in life, then you can't be this weak little Christian. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the only way is by pumping yourself full with the word, full with faith, sowing the seed of the word in your heart. The Bible says in Peter, it says that we have become new creations. We've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Mm-hmm. So that also, he said in that same epistle, he said that through the word, through the divine promises, we have become partakers of the divine nature. So you and I, we have a potential to be partakers, to be completely transformed into the image of God. But it's not going to happen until we dig into the word. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Yeah. But if you stop abiding in me, then you'll be by like a branch that is cut off and is dried up and withers away and does not produce any fruit. So it's you and I, it's our own responsibility, what we do with what God has already given us.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's so easy to blame our circumstances, or to blame our situation, to blame outside things, you know, to say, well, I'm too busy, I'm not smart enough, I don't understand it when I read it. You never will if you don't get into it for yourself and start digging.
Yeah.
Today, make sure you get your fork and dig into the plate that God has prepared for you. Shovel it in, you know?
Yeah.
Just put it in. If you don't understand something, just keep reading. Just keep digging. Just keep asking. Just keep knocking. Just keep filling yourself. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He is willing to teach you, but you got to get that word on the inside for yourself.
Yeah. And it's what makes you a victorious Christian, the word, because the word of God will renew your mind. It'll renew all of the thoughts of defeat, of inadequacy, of I can't do it. All of those thoughts, the thoughts of fear, all of those things that stop people from being what God has called them to do. The word of God will renew your mind, and you'll start seeing yourself as God sees you, and you'll start believing and saying, wow, this is what the word says. I can do it. God is big on the inside of me, and I can do all things through Christ who will give me the strength. I can raise these children. I can go to work. I'm gonna be victorious in every area of my life. Divine health is for me. All of the promises of God, you become aware of them, and then you can activate your faith in those areas. This is what makes Christians either, this is basically the difference between a defeated Christian life or a victorious Christian life. Defeated Christian life, they're weak. They don't know what the word says. So when attacks come, just like the scripture we read, storms come, they fall through the wayside. They fall down. They're not founded on the word. So the foundation is not secure. But when you know who God has called you to be and what the word says, and if discouragement were to come, you just get in that word and you start speaking that word out of your mouth, then you'll start activating your faith, and you'll see major results. Like you said, you'll see word results.
Absolutely.
Which is successful, victorious Christian
and it's
life.
Up to you to move every distraction aside. We get distracted, you know. Everyone. There's things that come in our life that
you
try
to
like choke out the word, you know.
Yeah.
But you gotta, you said, you gotta prioritize it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have time to get in the word. Well, you have time to eat, and usually not just once a day, but a few times a day. So make time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put excuses aside.
Yeah.
Just make time. And that's why we're sharing five reasons why it's important for you to get in the word.
Yeah.
Why is the word so important? Well, it's food.
Yeah.
You're number one. You're a spirit. You know, you are a spirit. You live in a body, and you have a soul. So you got to make sure that your spirit, who you really are, grows very strong, because your spirit is eternal. It's your number one priority. It's your spirit life. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. Well, how do we guard our heart? It's through filling it with the word. We'll get to that in a second as well. But let's read the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Man, that word profitable just jumped out to me. The word is profitable. It is profitable. The Bible says it, that God leads you in the way of righteousness, and he teaches you to profit. God has got your best in mind.
Yes.
And the word, it leads you, it teaches you, it shows you the way you should go, so you can walk in that way of blessing, the walk in the way of victory, the walk in and avoid the way of defeat, avoid the way of tears, avoid the way of struggles. God has given it all to us through his word. And then he says, you know, that the word is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that you may be complete and thoroughly equipped. So what does the word do? It feeds you, but it also teaches you. It equips you. It changes you. It corrects you. It strengthens you, so that you are ready for anything and everything. You know, but the problem many times comes is, like the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, that the word is like a double-edged sword that pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and it reveals the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and all things are exposed and open in the eye, before the eyes of the one who sees all things. You know, so when we get the word in us, it can come like a sword, you know, cutting you on the inside, where God is saying, hey, change. Hey, this is not right. Hey, remove this out of your life. And that's the third point that we got here. I'm jumping into it already, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a mirror.
It's a mirror. The third point is that it's a mirror. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the word is a mirror.
Yeah.
So it reveals to you when you look at the word is, you're reading the word and the word is reading you. It reveals those impurities, reveals those things of the heart. Like he said, that we have to change. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and change us, make decisions to cut some things out of our lives that it's revealing. So without the mirror, it's like if you leave the house, you wake up, you get ready, and you just never look at yourself in the mirror, you don't really know what everyone else is seeing. The mirror shows you if you have something in your teeth or if your hair is out of place,
like
or whatever.
Mine right now, actually.
No, so it reveals what really everyone else is seeing. And the word, it's so powerful because it reveals even the hidden things of the heart that maybe no one sees.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't even see it, but the word will reveal those things so that we change and grow.
Yeah, when we read the word reads us.
Yeah, yeah.
Pastor Ronnie says something so good. He says, when the cat gets rubbed, the cat's fur gets rubbed the wrong way, let the cat turn around.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you read the word, you want to change the word. People want to change the word, what it says.
So
it's like, well, that's not for our society today. God didn't mean it when he said that. No, God says what he means and he means what he says.
Yes.
So the word is not going to change. You have to change.
Yeah,
you know?
Have to change.
So when it starts poking like that double-edged sword, it's up to you. You have a decision to make. You're going to just shut the word or push it away or say, I'm going to get offended with the word. Well, that's the dumbest thing you can do, is get offended with God. The best thing to do is say, Lord, you are God. I am man. I don't know everything. You know all things. You're all knowing. You're all powerful. Mm-hmm. You're almighty. Lord, I humble myself before you. You teach me. Teach me, Lord. If there's any, like David said, if there's any wicked way in me, purify me, Lord. Change me, transform me. The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. The potter tells the clay what to do. And he's forming you and he's shaping you. And he knows the final result of where he wants to take you. And he knows best. And he's got your best in mind. Sometimes, I remember before I got saved, I grew up in church. And actually at 13 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord at a youth camp. But then from 13 to 21, I ran away from God as hard as I could. Because I thought the moment I surrender my life to God and surrender my life to the plan of God, then I'm just going to be living this like boring life where I'm not allowed to do anything and it's just going to be terrible. And I thought that God wanted to rob me of my life. You know, God wanted to steal all the fun out of my life. But it was such a lie from the devil.
Yeah.
The devil is a liar, you know? Because actually God has your best in mind. He said it in Jeremiah 29:11, that his plan for you is good.
Yeah.
It's plans of peace, plans of success, plans to give you hope and a great future.
Yeah.
Actually, the devil's plan for your life and the world's plan for your life is to take your life from you, to steal, kill, destroy, to rob you from joy, to take all peace away from you. And I started noticing that. That the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That the more I went in the world's way, the more empty I got on the inside. And in the meantime, struggling against God, fighting against God, pushing God away, saying, no, I don't want to surrender, you know. I don't want to open my life up for you because I'm afraid what it will do. But I promise you, from experience, I can tell you the best thing you can do is just surrender to the will of God. Surrender to what God is saying to you. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Just come to the Lord with an open heart and say, Lord, not my will. Jesus even said this in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Son of God, after 3 years of the most miraculous, spirit-filled, mighty ministry that has ever lived and ever will live. Jesus with the Spirit without measure. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing the price he's going to have to pay. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. What a perfect example of a life of surrender, a life of complete yieldedness to the will of God. And I pray you and I are reflections of that life of total surrender. That, Lord, if there's anything in us that is not pleasing to you, we want to check ourselves in the mirror of the word. If there's any spot, any blemish, anything that offends you, anything that grieves the Spirit of God, remove it from our life, Lord. Take it now, Lord. I don't want to live with it another day.
Yeah.
But if you shut the word out, you'll never know. You can have stuff in your teeth, you'll never know.
Yeah.
You can have smudges all over your face, you'll never know. Mm-hmm. Everybody else can see it. You just can't see it because you never check the mirror.
Yeah.
Make sure you check the mirror.
Yeah. Just like a bride, we're the bride of Christ. We just went to his brother's wedding last week, and the bride had obviously a white, beautiful dress. There was no spot, no blemish. Every time she moved, they would fix her dress, you know, to make sure she was perfect for her groom. And we are that bride. We are the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for a perfect, blameless, a good, beautiful bride that doesn't have spot and blemishes everywhere. And so it's our job to keep ourselves pure, and that comes through the word.
Let me just say something about that, you know. You don't have to live like the world. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that we can present our bodies as living sacrifices and yield ourselves to the perfect, acceptable will of God. So we be well-pleasing to God.
Yeah.
And we can renew our mind with the water of the word. We can change the way we think so we don't be conformed to the thinking of this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see too many believers that are just like the world. They think like the world. They act like the world. They think the more I am like the world, the easier I can reach the world. That's not true. Actually, light has to be light so that it can reveal the darkness in other people. So you just make it your decision the next 4 months that last in this year to press into God like never before, to press into the word like never before, to see your mind being renewed, to go from glory to glory, to see God even work a new purity on the inside of you, to transform you so you can shine that bright light in this dark world. And I believe you'll see many testimonies of God using you this year before the year is over.
Amen. And the fourth point that we're going to go into today is that the word is a light that leads us.
Yes.
And that's in Psalms 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path.
Yes. So good. It's a lamp.
Yes.
It's a light.
Yes.
You don't have to live in darkness anymore.
Yes.
You don't have to stumble around life not knowing where, what, how, who, you know. Oh, who am I supposed to marry? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do with my life? Well, what? No, you got the word. You got the light. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 130, it says the entrance of your word gives light.
Yeah.
And it gives understanding to the simple. You know, that's why Proverbs, all of Proverbs, it continually talks about, incline your ear to my saying.
Yeah.
Hear so you can become wise.
Yeah.
Don't be foolish. Walk away from foolishness. Get the word on the inside of you so you can become wise. You know, let that light shine in your heart. It's a light that leads you. It's a roadmap. It's a GPS navigation to guide you through life.
Yeah.
You know, like before you got saved, you were stumbling around life, you know, like, well, I don't know, really know, you know, what my purpose is. And like, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that, you know. But the moment you got saved, the purpose of God got activated, you know. And you, it's up to you to discover that purpose and to walk in it. How do you discover it? By getting in the word like never before.
Mm-hmm.
By getting that word. See, we always say this, is when you walk in the known will of God, the word of God, when you walk in that and you do that and you get it in you, then what happens? You are qualified to get access to the unknown will of God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? But if you don't walk in the known will of God,
mm-hmm.
then you're not qualified for access to the unknown will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He's like, well, I don't know, who am I supposed to marry? Maybe this girl, maybe that girl, whatever. It's nobody you guys know. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I said, you know, you got to just press into what do you know that God is telling you to do, you know? What church are you in? Well, get into that church, plug in, serve God, get in the word, go to Bible school, whatever it may be that God is speaking to you to do right now.
Yeah.
He's been telling you, you know, get out on the street, start witnessing. You know to do certain things, then start doing those things, then all the other things.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with my life? Who am I supposed to marry? What kind of work am I supposed to do? That all will reveal as you walk in the light.
Yeah,
see,
that's right.
The will of God is like a car that drives with headlights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a dark road. You can't see the end of the street until you get there and the light shines on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shines the light on the next steps that you're supposed to take. And as you are faithful, to take those steps, and you walk in faith because it requires faith.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Serving God requires faith always.
Yeah.
Trust, faith, obedience. When you're faithful and obedient to take those next steps where the light shines, then the next step will be revealed.
Yeah.
And the next step, and the next step.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, just take the step that you know to do right now, and then all the next steps will show in your life as well.
Yeah. And Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success."
Come on.
Like you said earlier, the word is profitable. The word gives you good success. It makes your ways prosperous. It makes you victorious. And so the word is it.
Is it?
Yeah.
And he said, meditate in it day and night, morning and night. So think about it, ponder it, chew it, you know, but then also that you may observe to do, to do, hearing and doing, hearing and doing, hearing and doing.
Yeah.
I want, even if there's one key from today that you can take out, then take that one key and start applying that. Make it practical in your life. Don't just let it be theory. No, start doing what you know to do. Start doing the word.
Yeah.
And then you see the fruit and it'll become such a joy, you become addicted to the word in a good way.
Yeah.
Let's do the last one.
The last one, number five, is it's a weapon. The word is a weapon, which he just talked about briefly. But Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the
word
of
God."
So the word is a weapon.
It's a weapon. It's a sword. Mm-hmm. See, all in the armor of God, where it talks about here in Ephesians 6, it's talking about the armor of God. All the other ones are defensive. The shield, the harness, the helmet, you know, it's all defensive. But then he said, take the sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offensive weapon where you can go and counterattack the devil. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take that word. And it
use it,
you know, like...
Just
you
like
don't
Jesus.
Have to be defeated, just like Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus, you know, when he was tempted by the devil, what did he do?
The devil's attacking me.
He used his weapon. He said three times, he said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And so just if Jesus had to do that, how much, obviously we do too. He's a perfect example. And so we take the word. When you're being attacked, don't just let things just happen. If you're,
let's say,
if you have kids and sickness tries to come, don't just say, "Oh, well, everybody gets sick." No.
Well, it's flu season.
It's not supposed to happen. Not in our house, you know? You come and you attack mode. It's like, okay, you feel sick. No, we're not accepting that. Juliana even starts saying it now. We don't get sick. I mean, I can't remember the last time she got sick. And if something happens, I say, "Well, we don't get sick, do we?" We don't accept that nonsense in our home. It's not allowed to come in our house. The flu is not allowed to come in our house because we're not allowing it. We know what the word says, and it's divine health is our portion. And so you come in attack mode and you say, "No, the word says this."
Yes.
And so this is not allowed to happen. And you attack with the word.
But if you don't have any word in you then you don't know the will of God, and then anything can happen.
Yeah.
So without the word, you'll always be the enemy's punching bag.
Yeah.
And the enemy is a liar. He's sneaky.
Yeah.
Even with Jesus, he took Jesus up a high mountain and he says, "Doesn't the word say this?" But Jesus knew the higher truth of that word, you know? He knew what that word meant.
Yeah.
So don't let the devil lie to you about things, you know? You got to get the word. It's so important. Don't be the devil's punching bag.
Yes.
Punch back.
Yeah.
Punch back.
Yeah.
You know, too long, I think Christians have been this like, "Oh, little Jesus, meek and mild," you know, like everything, whatever happens, happens. And we've just been the doormat of society. But it's time that we get full of the word of God and just fight back. So that the next time the devil comes knocking at your door, he's like, "Ooh, let me not do that," because you give him such a severe beating that he regrets it.
And I mean, it's like, you know, if somebody were to come in here at nighttime and try to come into our house and try to steal some things, we're not just going to sit there and be
like, "You want
a
cup of coffee?
Oh, let me make you a cup of coffee.
Cookie to buy.
You can sit down. Just take what you want. Sure." No, you're going to be like, "Wait a second. You are an intruder. You're not allowed here. And I'm going to take any weapon I have in this household to make sure that you get out, you know?" And so that's the same thing. When anything tries to come against you that is against the word, you combat it with the weapon of the word, and you tell that thing, "It cannot remain. Not here, baby.
No.
No. Devil, not today. Get out."
So get to know the will of God and fight against everything that is not written in the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Use that weapon. Yeah. Yeah. So to close out, you know, we had five reasons why it's important for you to get in the Word. Maybe you've already been in the Word, you know, but maybe it's time to, you know, go the extra mile, you know, step it up, go extra.
Practice it.
Get that word in, meditate on it, start chewing on it, memorize scriptures, you know, like start adding the measure that you've put in your word. And then, of course, we got this word life.
Right now we have this that we're doing with the River Amsterdam Church, but if you're not a part of our church and you want one of these, we can get it to you fully for free. It's basically, we're doing a reading plan that we're going through the New Testament for this last 4 months of the year. And today we are on day 4, but you can obviously catch up with us. And
this is no timeline on it, so
yeah, you can jump in whenever. But it's basically just going through the whole New Testament, and then it's awesome because if you have any questions when you're reading the Word, especially, you know, you're a new believer or anything like that, then you can reach out to us on the River Amsterdam Facebook page. We would love to answer any of your questions.
Send us a private message.
Yeah, and if you want this, we can get this available to you. Just send us a private message again on River Amsterdam, and the River Amsterdam team will get this to you free of charge.
You can private message on Instagram or on Facebook on the River Amsterdam pages. Then they send it to you on your email. Just send us your email address. We'll send it to you.
Yeah.
And it'll be a blessing to you because you'll read through the whole New Testament this year before the year is over in 3 months.
People just have a hard time, like, where do I start? Like, it's such a big Bible. And this just makes it very simple. It's basically about, I believe, like 4 chapters a day. And it's just awesome. It's simple. We're all doing it. So if you have any questions, I've been getting questions from some people from the church. It's awesome. And just being able to really dig deep and feed yourself with the Word.
And you'll see yourself, I promise you, you'll see yourself grow more than you've ever had in the last few years combined. Because the Word
is
we grow
producing.
Thereby, you know. And then, of course, the podcast. Get that podcast, subscribe to it, share it with your friends. And get the Word in you through that avenue as well, because faith comes through hearing. It doesn't just come through reading, but also through hearing the Word. So this is very good for you to also grow. We do this to sow the Word in your life, and we believe it produces much fruit in your life. So I hope you're blessed today, and I love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for the feedback. If you have any questions, any things, praise reports, give us a shout out on Facebook, on Instagram. Love you so much.
Love you guys.
And see you next week, Wednesday, 12 o'clock.